Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus. Amen. The word of God for our message today from 1 Peter chapter 4. You'll find that printed for you on page 5 of the worship folder. I had mentioned at the beginning of the service that our theme today is talking about Christians being persecuted. So maybe I should ask you, do you feel that you are being persecuted because you're a Christian? I suppose that all really comes down to what do you mean by persecution? You know, if by persecution it means that you are in danger of being arrested, tortured, and killed because you're a Christian, well, I guess then our answer would have to be no. But if you define persecution as being mocked and ridiculed because of your Christian faith, then I guess we are. And in this section of his epistle, Peter talks about both kinds of persecution, where literally our lives are in danger, and also the kind of persecution where we're simply insulted because of our faith. When Peter wrote this letter, he was writing it at a time when Christians were, in the real sense, being persecuted. He was writing it at a time when being a Christian literally meant that you were putting your life on the line. And I think it would be good for us just to understand what's gone on with Christianity through the centuries, to really understand how the Christian church has been persecuted ever since Jesus went back to heaven. Now, the very first persecution started at the hands of the Jewish people, the same leaders, elders, rulers, Pharisees, Jewish ruling council that were responsible for putting Jesus to death were also responsible for the early persecutions. A couple of weeks ago in the gospel, we heard how Peter and John were in the temple courts and they healed that lame man. And what was the result? They were thrown into prison, they were beaten, and they were ordered not to speak the name of Jesus. The Jewish leaders were the ones responsible for the first Christian martyr, when they took the evangelist, the deacon Stephen, and stoned him to death because he was telling people about Jesus. And of course, there was a young man named Saul, who we know as the Apostle Paul, who said he was holding their coat so they could throw the stones a little better, and he agreed with what they were doing. And Paul himself said that as he persecuted the church, he was responsible for leading many Christians to their death. And because of that, we're told that most of the Christians left Jerusalem. And of course, they took the word of God. It proved to be a positive thing. They took the word of God with them and shared Jesus wherever they went. But the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. And Herod beheaded the apostle James in Jerusalem. And even the apostle Paul, after he was converted and became a Christian missionary, you read the book of Acts, how severely he himself was persecuted. And when the persecutions by the Jewish nation kind of came to an end, well, then Christians were persecuted by the Roman government. In fact, when Peter wrote this letter, the emperor of Rome was Nero, who in 64 AD blamed Christians for a fire that destroyed a huge part of Rome. And in retaliation, he had Christians arrested and executed, wrapped in animal skins and thrown to wild animals, some of them beheaded, some of them crucified, some of them covered in tar, tied to a pole and used as human torches. It wasn't long before Christianity became illegal in the Roman Empire. And every person was forced to declare that Caesar was both Lord and God. And when Christians refused to do that and stood up for Jesus, they were executed. Every governor in every Roman province was given the authority to arrest and kill Christians who didn't acknowledge the emperor as God. Now, perhaps the worst was under Emperor Diocletian in 303 and in the 300s. He confiscated all Christian property. He made every Christian congregation in the empire disband. And anyone caught in a Christian assembly, in a worship service, if you will, was arrested and subject to death. And during the 8 years of his reign, there were over 1,500 Christians in Rome who were executed, and countless more who were arrested, beaten, and tortured. All because of Christ. But in spite of all of that, the Christian church continued to grow because Christians were willing to stand up for their faith, willing to lose their property, lose their livelihood, and even give up their life rather than to deny Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You know, and so many times we think of all those Roman persecutions and we think that maybe then that's where it all ended. You know, the Roman Emperor Constantine became a Christian and it became the Holy Roman Empire and everything was fine. But it continued. One of the fastest growing areas of Christianity was actually Japan. Until the 1600s, when the ruler of Japan looked at Christianity as a threat to his government, and he expelled all the Christians that were there. He told them they all had to leave, and those who banded together and stayed in Japan were captured, and they were killed. Christianity became illegal, baptisms were punishable by death, and every family had to get a certificate signed by a Buddhist priest swearing that there were no Christians in their household. But an even more interesting statistic that I read was that in the 20th century, that would be the 1900s, more Christians were killed in the 1900s than all the previous centuries combined. And if you think of some of the history that's there, thousands of Armenians were killed by Muslim Turks. When communism became the rule in the Soviet Union, in Russia, all the Russian Orthodox churches were confiscated and closed and turned into museums. Thousands of people were sent off to labor camps because they were Christians. Chinese communism, Emperor Mao, at one time there were over 8,000 Christian missionaries in China. By 1952, there were only a handful. And many of those Christian missionaries, along with their families, were killed. Still going on today, literally, hundreds of thousands of people were killed in Sudan by the Muslim government because they weren't Muslim. And look at today. Many countries in the Middle East where Christianity is illegal, and you have these radical groups like ISIS beheading Christians, filming it and sending the video out for everyone to see and proud of it. Persecution is there, right? The question is, why did those people do that? Well, listen to what Peter says. He said, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Did you see that? Rejoice that you suffer for Christ, because you will be overjoyed when God's glory is revealed. You know what that means, right? That means when Jesus comes back, you will be overjoyed because you're going to heaven. Christians throughout the centuries were willing to give up everything they had rather than give up Jesus, because they knew if they gave up Jesus, they were giving up eternal life in heaven. And in some parts of the world, Christians are still doing that. They would rather lose their property, their jobs, would be subject to terrible torture and beatings, and even give up their lives rather than give up Jesus, because they know that if they give up Jesus, they're giving up eternal life in heaven. Have you ever wondered if that kind of persecution started going on here in the United States? How much would you be willing to give up rather than give up Jesus? And if you really think about it, you think about the motivation that these people had, and understand that if you give up Jesus, you're giving up eternal life in heaven. And there is nothing more important to us, right, than eternal life in heaven. I want you to take a look at verse 14. It says, if you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any kind of criminal or even a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear his name. Now, he's not talking about being beaten, arrested, thrown in prison, being executed. What he says is, if you are insulted for the sake of Christ, you are blessed. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or a meddler, but if you suffer for standing up for Jesus, praise God that you bear his name. Is there a way you can apply that to your life? Are Christians in our society today being insulted because of what we believe? Are you being insulted for what you believe? If you stand up and you tell people, I still believe that the Bible is the Word of God and everything in it is the truth, and I still believe that the Ten Commandments apply just as much to our society today as they did back when God first gave them, what's the reaction most people have? You know, they think there's something wrong with you. If people call you narrow-minded because you still believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, and not just one way to heaven, if people call you homophobic because you don't hate homosexuals, but you still believe it's a sin, if people call you narrow-minded because you say marriage is between a man and a woman, if they say that you are putting women's lives in danger because you still believe that abortion is murder and not simply a woman's choice, Do you feel blessed when people ridicule you for your beliefs? When people call you stupid because you still believe that God created the world in 6 24-hour days, and do you walk away praising God that you suffered a little bit, but you stood up for the name of Jesus? Or if you tell people, no, I don't believe that there are many ways to heaven. I don't believe that there are all kinds, there's only one God, and people just call him by different names. I believe that Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And yes, I believe that people who die without Christ are going to hell. What's the reaction you're going to get? And you know the sad part? Is that there are so many Christians today who will say, well, I don't know what reaction I would get, because I've never really taken a stand. Now, when those topics come up at family gatherings, at the workplace, in the neighborhood, wherever you might be, what's the easiest thing for us to do? Just back away and say, no, I don't want to cause any waves. I don't want to make any problems here. So you know what? I'm just going to keep my Christian beliefs to myself. Ever find yourself doing that? We do, don't we? And remember the reason that these early Christians stood up to persecution, so that when Jesus came back, they could be overjoyed because they were going to heaven. See, you and I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, right? That the only reason you and I are going to heaven is because Jesus Christ went to that cross, gave up his life, paid the price for our sins, and we all know how many sins we have, and declared us forgiven. We believe that's the only way. Well, isn't that the only way for everybody else too? And if we don't stand up for Jesus and we don't stand up for the truths of God's word, then who will? In the early Christian church, when people stood up for their faith, were willing to have their property confiscated, were willing to lose their lives for the sake of Jesus, what happened to the church? It didn't die. It grew. It was strengthened because people were becoming Christians because they had strong convictions and strong belief in Jesus as their Savior. And I believe when Peter wrote these words, that it was a call to action. And I believe when we read these words, it's a call to action for us as well. To stand up for our faith, stand up for our beliefs. Christianity, you ever hear Christians being referred to as the silent majority? That there's still a lot of Christians out there, but they're the silent majority. Does that make sense? That we should be the silent majority? And I'm not encouraging people to go and grab a picket sign and go on the next march or crusade. That's not the way you change things. You don't change things by passing laws. You change things by changing hearts and leading people to know Jesus as their Savior. Do you believe that Jesus is the only way to eternal life? Do you believe that you are going to heaven because of Jesus? Jesus is the only way to heaven for everyone. We can't be the silent majority. We have to stand up for our faith. And if we are ridiculed, and we are put down, and we are called all kinds of names, and we are insulted for doing that, then feel blessed. And praise God that He gave you the opportunity to stand up for your faith. Amen.